The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
Is this the calm before the storm? Well, we're going to cover that today on What Really Matters. We start now. And welcome to What Really Matters. This is your host, Peter McClellan, joined by Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management. And Jeff, it's coming down to the wire here. It's all this talk of Trump. We've seen the people who are distraught. We've seen those that are giddy. Still lots of emotions running crazy on all sides. So the question, this is a point where we do have to ask the question, is this a calm before a storm? And I think, Jeff, you're probably taking your cues from some of the volatility, both in the political realm and in the market this week. So what's on your mind with it? What'd you see that kind of brought that concept of the calm before the storm back to you?
Yeah, it seems like for the past 2.5 months, we've talked a lot about the enthusiasm out there for the Trump presidency and, a lot of the things that could go well. And we've always warned that, there are some things that could go bad. And it seems like, now, as you said before we went on, a week from now at this time, we'll have the new president. And I think a little bit of reality started to set in this week. I think it was the first press conference since going back to November. And it was more to talk about how he was turning over his companies. But Donald Trump spooked some investors this week.
And yeah, he did.
We saw, Thursday, the day after, small cap stocks were down over 2% most of the day. We saw some of the healthcare stocks on Wednesday take a big hit. It's, not going to be as rosy as everybody believes. We've warned people over and over and over again that he's going to introduce more than just his pro-growth policies. He's at heart a protectionist. And that came out in his press conference, whether he was talking about, some of the border taxes and things like that he's going to slap on any manufacturers moving jobs overseas, whether it's, what he was talking about on heavy regulation on the pharmaceutical industry, just some of the trade policies, with China and some of the other things out there. Gosh, it's, it did worry people, and that, that's kind of what the point of the blog was this week. It was short and sweet of, next week we're going to have that new president, and there's no more speculating. We're going to see what's going to happen. And, you got a Republican-led House and Republican-led Senate. And, if, some sort of populist movement takes effect, that may not always be best thing for the market.
Yeah, well, it may not be, and I think it is volatile. There's no question about it. You look at what the press conference that he had, Trump had this week. It's I guess we could suffice it to say that he's not going to have any real honeymoon period with the press to speak of. I think that's out the window at this point. So,
what did he call BuzzFeed? A crappy publication or something.
A pile of crap. Pile of garbage or something. Yeah, and CNN's not far behind with him. It's funny, but it's not funny, because I do think the press does serve a valid purpose. There's those that are antagonistic towards each presidency. That's going to be the case, but doesn't mean we don't want or need to have good information in a free society. We don't need fake news, and I think that's what Trump was so animated about. He perceived what was going on there as fake news, and I really don't claim to understand all that. But I do. I would say this too, Jeff. You pointed out to the impact before we started the podcast about what you saw in, let's say, small caps with this week, and I was saying, oh yeah, it's like the start of a new cycle in the economy. And what'd you see? You saw both ups and downs. What was going on there?
Yeah, I mean, since the election, we've seen everybody pricing in really a new phase of growth. At the early phase of an economic expansion, you see people jumping into things like small caps and the riskier technology sector, even some energy companies, biotech, all those things that really do well mm-hmm. if the economy is expanding. Well, after the press conference, we saw people take a step back and say, whoa, if we don't see that growth, I'm a little over-optimistic on what I was paying for these small caps. And so we saw a lot of people selling them.
Mm. So it's amazing how much of this is on hype, because really nobody knows yet what he's going to be able to do, what he isn't going to do. And I guess I don't... I can't disagree that I would like, for example, I know he says we're gonna take apart Obamacare and replace. It's gonna be, you know, like replacement. You know, take it apart piece by piece and replace. And yet he's not really giving us any specifics on that. And it's let's face it, Obamacare. You can read it as, but it doesn't. You're still not gonna know what's in the act. It's still a very, very, you know, enormous document, you know, overarching, just huge, you know, with it's immense. So I don't really know if the Republicans know what to do with it. It's a beast.
Yeah, I was reading some of the things this morning of the obscure things that are threatened, and it's things like school lunch funding and, you know, all these things that you wouldn't think of as healthcare got thrown in this bill mm-hmm. that Nancy Pelosi said, well, we got to vote on it to know be able to read it.
Yeah, to read yeah. it. Yeah.
So it's, you know, you're right. Nobody knows. I thought it was interesting that she was out this morning saying how dangerous it was to vote on repealing this without having a plan to replace it. And I thought, well, didn't you just vote on a bill to put it in place without even understanding it?
Yeah, she did. She did. That's scary.
But that's kind of the way people in Washington think. You know, if your party is the president and we have to raise the debt ceiling, it's fine. But if the other party wants to raise the debt ceiling, then it's not going to happen. Mm. You know, these political things get frustrating, and I think that's where the wild card comes in with Trump. Is he's not going to play games with Paul Ryan or Nancy Pelosi. He's to say this is how it is, I'm the president, and
right.
how the chips fall after that is anybody's guess. And that, I mean, that's my main word of warning to people, you know, and investors. We had this really great rally off the election. We're sitting at very nice levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to take a step back and say, does my portfolio line up with my overall risk tolerance? And risk tolerance is both how much risk you're willing to take, mm-hmm. but also how much risk you can afford to take. You know, if you're retired and you're taking income out, or it's a college fund and you're going to need that money very shortly to pay tuition, that's not money you can afford to take risk on, because you don't have time on your side to make up for your losses.
That's true.
If you're taking income out, you know, you're dollar cost averaging out instead of dollar cost averaging in. You can't really afford to take on a lot of risk when you're doing that. So it's a good chance to just say, okay, this market hasn't gone lower. Maybe I should reassess my risk tolerance and where my portfolio is set up, and just see if, you know, it's a good chance to get out. Or maybe you're in the right portfolio and you can just ignore all the noise because you're a long-term investor and you can't afford that risk.
Right. Right. It's true. It's true. And I'd be remiss, because, you know, part of what impacts me on a weekly basis is what I see clients wanting to do. Now, to your first word of caution, I would say this is good. I sat down with a client this week who is wanting and willing to take on more risk. And yet she relayed to me it has nothing to do with Trump. In fact, she doesn't really like Trump. But she's finding out that she's been retired now for 3 years. And her husband, their income needs are absolutely more than met. Required minimum distributions will just be a temporary poke in the eye to as she reinvests the money. She really doesn't need the money per se that's in her IRA. So I think when somebody says, well, I could assume more risk because I do have that, like as you have on one of your questionnaires, Jeff, you know, a time frame. How long do you think you'll hold your portfolio? And she can legitimately say, hey, if I'm alive, she's seven, going to be 70 next year. If I'm alive, 20 years, 15, 20 years, people are living to hit 90. That's not terribly unusual. So that's a different scenario though. What you said a minute ago was if somebody needs the money or is drawing in retirement, whether they've hit 70 and a half or not, and they are drawing off of their portfolio and they want more growth, especially be careful, because that's not what that's not a good scenario to get too aggressive if it's beyond your comfort level or what you can afford to do. That's a really good point, Jeff. And then the other side of it, all right? Now, people, you said maybe is this the calm before the storm? And, you know, hey, maybe the market does take off. Maybe it does. Let's hope the economy continues to improve. Now, you are seeing some good economic improvement. We're seeing some inflation, according to what you're saying there, Jeff. But the other thing that could occur is that maybe there would be more volatility. Maybe some of the things that Trump says at some point just causes more investors to get spooked, and we see a really more significant pullback. All right, that might be the case, but that's not necessarily Armageddon. And I had a call this week from a client who, you know, was a very big fan of President Obama and just hates the idea that Trump won and that the House is Republican and the, you know, the Senate and the Congress, it's all Republican now. And I said, yeah, let me remind you of a client. I told him the story about a client on the right who got overly amped up because Obama won and it was mostly Democrat, you know, in the Congress, the Senate, and he was freaking out. He read some articles about how the government will plan to confiscate our 401ks like they did in, I don't know, Argentina or something. And I said, you know, not so fast. Take it slow. No, he wouldn't. So what he did is he, you know, gutted his 401k, wasn't old enough to take money out, but he paid a huge tax and penalty to pay the house down or pay it off, close to pay it off, I guess. And now he doesn't have a retirement plan. Now, this happened a number of years ago. Hopefully he's building it back up. But still, because everything looked like it was, you know, the end of the world to him. So I think your calm before the storm is good scenario. It's going to be volatile. I can't, looking at the press conference this week, I can't imagine it not being volatile. But you're not saying here, run for the hills, I wouldn't think. You're not telling people, look, it might get volatile. You better cash out of everything. It's going to be World War III, Armageddon, because Trump's in control. You're not saying that, right?
Not at all. I'm saying it's really hard to predict what's going to happen based on any president.
And exactly.
You put somebody that's a wild card like Trump, and it is literally gambling to place all your bets for or against.
Exactly.
Because I could see a lot of things going great, and I could see them going really poorly. We have no precedent for a president like this.
No, we don't.
And he's human, obviously. I mean, he was up in the middle of the night last night tweeting about Hillary and the FBI and the intelligence leaks. And, I mean, goodness gracious, is he going to still be on Twitter when he's in the White House? You know, is he going to be up all night, you know, bashing some world leader? I mean, honestly, it's I wouldn't want to be in a buy and hold strategy if I had to, again, back to my risk tolerance.
Yeah.
You know, perfect example in my life. I got two kids in college. One's a senior, and I just this week paid his last tuition payment.
Nice. Congratulations.
But his college, yeah, that one's done. Thankfully, the other one in college continues to work hard and is almost on a full ride academic scholarship.
Oh,
but
wow.
Either way, both of those portfolios, their entire college career, in fact, 2 years before they graduated high school, turned into basically risk-free portfolios.
Right.
Because you can't afford a big drop if you're going to need that money. And sure. That's what I'm getting at is
yeah. You
are literally gambling with your retirement if you have a 10-year or shorter time horizon and you're putting money to work just because of who's president, or you're selling your assets just because of who's president.
Yeah.
And a side note, you know, those clients you were talking about, I believe, fired me because they thought I was bashing Obama when I was talking about Ben Bernanke,
right,
who was actually appointed by George W. Bush.
And you were bashing Bernanke. Let's be clear about that, right?
So I was just commenting on you know, his policies, and they fired me because they said I was bashing Obama.
Right.
So
right. You're right.
I mean, politics can make us very emotional.
Yeah, it can.
And it's being true. Emotional with your money is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. And it's not a good combination because it does distort our view. It tremendously distorts it, and we make things out to be a million times worse than they are sometimes, or a million times better than they're really going to be. Either one is a dangerous place to be. So is this the calm before the storm? It's kind of difficult to say definitively. we're in for volatility. We just don't know which way the economy is going to go. We don't know how the Trump administration is going to do. Too soon to tell. Too soon to tell. It's going to be volatile. He's going to be unorthodox. He's not going to be like any other president we've seen, probably. And that could be both good and it could be bad. We don't know. I'm, for one, pleased that it's going to finally be done. I'm tired. Hasn't it been like a long, long cycle? I mean, I'm just done with politics for a while. And I know we can never totally be done, but I mean, just...
I was going to say, they were talking on CNN last week about the midterm election season in 2018. Gosh.
No. It's just drives you nuts. Anyway, I just get so fed up with it all. This whole thing's gone on forever, you know, and but oh, it's the way it is. It's the way it is. But, you know, Jeff, you brought up some good points. If you're retired and you can't afford to take too much risk, you want to be careful. And if it's been a while since you've had a chance, like that client of mine that said to me this week, I really think I can. I'm comfortable. I don't need the income. If it dropped, I'm not really, you know, as nervous about things because they've been experiencing a really nice retirement and, you know, they've done a good job. They've planned accordingly and they're not really worried about a little bit of volatility if it happens. Now, that being said, I don't want you to think the client's gone nuts and is, you know, buying a bunch of penny stocks and everything. No, she's still very much, you know, let's say moderate in her stance, but not super aggressive. And still, that's a jump from where she was. So, like I was saying, if it's been a while since you've had the chance to really assess, can you take the risk? Number one, like Jeff was saying, you know, can you really, because can you afford to do it? And number two, you know, are you able to take the risk emotionally? You know, if there's loss, is that something you can stomach? You need to assess that. Do it on a calmer day. We really have not seen, as Jeff was saying, prices, the market is still near very much all-time highs. It's unbelievable. And interest rates are still pretty much near all-time lows. We're at a very unique place in time here. Something tells me we can't stay at these junctures forever. Something's going to give sooner or later. If you haven't explored the merits of active money management, I want to encourage you to do so. Check out Jeff's blog. It's semtradersblog.com. Check us out here if you're local in Minnesota, 401klatte.com. We're big believers in active money management, and we encourage people to really assess their risk. We're not pushing anything in per se, but just explore it, at least understand the times we're in and you know, how much of this, how it fits you personally. What's your time frame, your tolerance, your ability? So on that note, Jeff, we remind people to, what is it we say around here?
Invest in a conversation.
Yeah, that's it. And do it soon.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.